Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Full Press Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Behringer, the voice of Full Press Hockey and everything Full Press coverage, it seems like these days. Rocking and rolling again with Chris Wassel. You can find this Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Full Press NHL on Twitter for our Full Press Hockey Weekly show. You can find this show on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Chris, thanks for coming in. Impromptu. A little podcast tonight.
Yeah, it feels like a nice little quick little party.
It is. It's a nice little party. But you know, the party bus and the Vancouver Canucks, there's going to be no partying. The fans may want to party with Bruce Boudreau at the bar somewhere. I think they wanted to do it last night in the last couple of games. But if you were living under a rock, or you were traveling, or you just didn't see the news. Bruce Boudreau was finally relieved of his duties as head coach of the Vancouver Canucks. Now, backstory. Bruce Boudreau was brought in as the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks around this time last year. And then they went on a heater. Might have been a little later, but it was the timing was similar. He never signed a contract extension in the summer. And what I don't understand is if you never believed in this guy in the first place, why keep him around? Am I wrong?
Mysterious, like, circumstances. And already there was sort of drama before the drama.
Right? Like, he was already a lame duck coach coming into the season. And it didn't help that Vancouver can't hold leads. Because this story is completely different if the Vancouver Canucks win all those games they blown at the beginning of the year. Because they were going to be sitting in first place in the Pacific Division.
Yeah,
but they blow like 9, 10, 2-goal leads at the beginning of the year.
Even if you hold a few of them. I mean, you kill a penalty or make a save somewhere. This doesn't happen.
No. And it dragged out the entire year because the team just wasn't getting any better. And you knew the rumblings were coming and the rumblings started to happen. And you just wondered, was it going to happen before Christmas? Was it going to happen in November? And it just, Bruce Boudreau is one of the nicest guys in hockey. He's a very intelligent coach, very good coach. The way this was handled on the Vancouver Canucks side of things, very bad, disappointing, considering they promote mental health and hockey talks and all that stuff to drag him through everything. And his emotions finally got to him. He, you know, the crying on the bench, saw he took it in, you know, in the press conferences. But it just, you feel bad for the guy because it's not like this is his fault.
Yeah, think of all the things that have gone wrong for Vancouver. I mean, besides the blown leads, now look, to be fair, and I know this was kind of not circulated around Vancouver circles all that much, but look, Bruce Boudreau tried to honestly fix the special teams on the Canucks, and it partially worked. I mean, look, this power play was one of the best in the NHL for the first couple months of the season. But, you know, by leaps and bounds. And they were pretty potent last year during that second half, too. I mean, they were one of the top five teams on the man advantage. The problem was, and let's call it for what it is, Thatcher Demko could not make a save on the penalty kill, save his life. And you don't want to put it all on one player, but, I mean, at some point, something, and you know, that continued into the early part of this year. And even, it's just, you kill less than 70% of your penalties the first 6 weeks of the season, you're not making the playoffs. You're just not. And yeah, I mean, have things improved? No. Do they get down early whenever they give up a few penalties? Yes. Is that all the coach's fault?
No.
It's the way this team was constructed. And we're all going to go back to Jim Rutherford and go, well, maybe the game is past the old son of a you-know-what bye.
Well, I mean, look, we said from the beginning this was going to be about the Vancouver Canucks. And there's you mentioned about things passing guys by. There's a certain someone we both know that's in Long Island right now, and the Islanders' Twitter is blowing up about Lamoriello. And we could have told you this. We saw this picture coming at the end of his time in New Jersey, but we could save that for another time. Because look, what Jim Rutherford has done, Patrick Allavine, you know, it hasn't been right. And last year, you had a player in JT Miller whose trade status was at his peak. It was at his highest. They should have moved on from Miller, and they didn't. And because from all indications, he was out the door. He was going to be traded. And then miraculously, he signs this extension. So does Brock Besser. It's like, okay, what are you guys doing? Is like they're not addressing problems. They're just trying to just stay in the middle, and that doesn't really help. You either have to rebuild or you don't. And when you have comments about from Jim Rutherford himself, who said maybe I shouldn't have come back, you know
Yes.
that there's something going on in the waters in Vancouver, and not to mention, you know, the whole Rachel Dory situation that God knows how that happened.
Yeah, there's a lot of fault on all ends. That's just look, you know, we don't want to come out as the bad people in this, but let's face it. To say there are no saints here is the biggest understatement that we have
Yeah.
ever made on this podcast.
Absolutely, 100%.
There is nobody is 100% blameless in that entire situation or what has gone on with the Vancouver Canucks. This is a pattern. And you can go back all the cripes. I can still remember this. 2011. Me and George Brew were doing a What's Brewing podcast. And at the time, that's about when we realized there's riots going on in Vancouver. They're close enough to the arena. Nobody, this is game seven of the Stanley Cup Finals, ladies and gentlemen, and nobody, no members of the press or teams could exit the arena for hours. I mean, it became like, well, okay, Boston celebrated, won a cup, et cetera, and now they're stuck there.
I don't think they minded being stuck there.
Oh, I don't. Well, they didn't, but I'm sure the Vancouver players sure as heck did. And look, let's be honest. That team has not gotten over this since.
Oh,
That's
no.
the reality. The Aquilini's team mediocrity, whatever you want to call it, and it's been a total mess ever since. It's only gotten worse. You now fire a coach that was probably the best thing that could have happened for your team, arguably. I mean, you needed something like that to promote some kind of positivity in what has been a sea of absolute negative. And you hamstring him from the get-go. You make things worse. You have no prospect pool whatsoever. You all but tell your center that you made a trade to acquire for in a certain draft. We don't want you. We made our best offer to you. We don't want you. And then like you said, Jim, they went and signed a guy that everybody wanted gone. That's just the tip of the iceberg. I think that's the scariest part of all this. That's
Yeah.
the tip of the iceberg. There is so, to joke you could go into this for hours and hours is not actually a joke.
No, it's not a joke because if you think about it, right? Like Miller, he had a career season. He was going to get paid whatever he wanted on the open market. They could have got some assets at least for him. And now you're in this position of we don't want to call it a rebuild, we want to call it a retool. But now you have, like you said, Bo Horvat is clearly not coming back.
Nope.
And he's going someplace. We just don't know where. Will he sign the extension? Who knows? But you know he's gonna be out. Elias Pettersson is a free agent, not this summer, but the following summer. He can start negotiating this summer. Is he going to want out? There's a.
You gotta wonder.
You got to wonder, does Brock Besser eventually get moved? I mean, they have a lot of pieces that teams
Oh,
like.
wait. Oh, wait. It gets better.
Oh, it does get better because they have a
Because,
guy on the back end that they can't really move.
they have a true anchor in Ekman Larson that they can't move at all. You could argue almost they have two anchors. They have a shorter term anchor in Tyler Myers.
Yeah.
His, now to be fair, his like kind of cash value is not 6 million, thankfully, but
Right.
still, who wants him?
How many years does he have left on that deal?
Just this and this year and next year. That's it. It doesn't seem like it, I know, but
No,
yeah.
but you might be able to get a team
You,
maybe to bite a little bit.
yeah,
Not
because
the
like,
not at the full six. If Vancouver can eat at least half, the
yeah,
team would bite.
a team would bite. I mean, then you have Kuzmenko, who's an interesting and really intriguing
Oh yeah,
prospect.
well
Oh,
he's a guy I know Vancouver wants to keep. Andre Kuzmenko, he's having a great year.
they that's the one kind of young guy that they managed to kind of get right.
Yeah.
In a overwhelming pool of garbage
Outside of
talent.
Elias Pettersson, who came in the first year and won Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, to be
He's
fair, look, the guy didn't need any. He was a naturally born gifted
yeah.
playmaker who
Then he
just
got.
needed to come into his own scoring wise, because
Right, and he.
he had streaks of it, and now it's just ridiculous.
And then you had, the injuries with him too, and same with Quinn Hughes too. He's had some injury problems in Vancouver, but he's locked up for a while.
Yeah, there's
But
a lot of
it's so interesting with this team because like you thought for so many years that their structure and their management was really good, especially when Brian Burke was there. You drafted Sedin, you had Naslin, you had all those Trevor Linden, all those guys that, were good for the organization and they were a steady organization. And then all of a sudden the mishandling of Luongo and Schneider after the cup run, that goes on and you trade Schneider for, Horvat, who eventually becomes Horvat, which 9 times out of 10, you probably, if you revisit the trade, the Devils are probably still making that trade because they got a goaltender for the future in that, and they just wasted his years. Then you move Luongo to Florida. You bring in guys. It just didn't seem to be working in Vancouver for some guys. You go through a string of head coaches, and now you're going to bring in Rick Tocchet, as the next head coach. And yeah, it was reported that Tocchet was going to be the next guy for the longest time. Apparently, he had to give TNT 4 weeks notice. So if you backtrack this thing, they've been
There you
talking
go.
before Christmas
Yep.
to come in.
Some have even argued that they've been talking since before American Thanksgiving.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, even Tocchet said on air, he's like, I know guys in that organization. He knows Jim Rutherford because he was there when Rutherford was running the Penguins.
That's good.
So, I mean, look, I wish nothing but the best to Rick Tocchet in this whole situation because this is not his fault. He's being thrown to the wolves, okay? My question is, and somebody's going to have it. I was about to text you earlier in the day about this. The odds, how long Tocchet lasts in Vancouver. Because if I was him, I would have said thanks, but no thanks. I'm staying in TV.
That would have been my first move, because let's be honest here, Tocchet's image in parts of the hockey community is persona non grata, and his TNT stint, yeah, depend you know it depends on the it depends on the on the media person or fan. They still feel the same way. They still felt like he could use a little work behind the camera a little bit, so to speak. It wouldn't have hurt, to keep a not necessarily lower profile, but to just continue what he was doing, because he was doing a pretty good job at TNT, let's be honest. I mean, he was kind of the even keel for the most, except for a few little moments here and there. But look, That show has to be edgy. We get it. So, I mean, we might have a little more sympathy towards that just because we understand kind of what's going on there. But this
Right.
situation is an absolute total mess. And
I don't think he's going to be able to clean it up, to be honest.
nobody's
Not
cl nobody.
not in a half a season. Not in a
No.
half a season. But they have to give him more than a year because Bruce Boudreau didn't even get a year.
He didn't even get it, really didn't get a year. Because you think about the way the season was broken up, and then you look into this year, and he really didn't have much to begin with. Players couldn't stay healthy. This team needs, and it's a hell of a tough ask. This team at least needs to stay somewhat healthy to get a gauge of what they are and what they aren't.
Right, exactly. They have to. I mean, you need a full lineup, to see what they really have, because when that team was actually healthy,
They're not bad.
they're not a bad team. Like, they really aren't a bad team. And if that Demko can get back to what he was, this team is really good. It could challenge because the Pacific is so up and down every year
Wouldn't
that
take much.
it wouldn't take much for them to sneak in. But the
So
problem is that they just, I think they really have to look at themselves management wise and see, can we really move with Jim Rutherford? Like, and can we keep what we have there? Because again, I understand that, and you're going to hear this from everybody around the league and a lot of stuff. Teams can't make moves because the NHL has this salary cap thing, and it's hampering a lot of teams' abilities to make moves. So it's kind of hard to move these players because Rutherford's an aggressive GM. We saw that in Pittsburgh. He'd be making moves weeks before the deadline, bring guys in. But the problem is, really have to wait till end of February, March for this stuff because of the cap and the money that's being paid out. It's going to be interesting to see what the Canucks do going forward because they are an interesting team. They bring in Adam Foote and they bring in Sergei Gonchar. That's an interesting dynamic with Rick Tocchet on the bench.
It's a defensive dynamic, no question. Now, obviously, one of the things that they're probably going to do, because it's the captain obvious thing to do, is when Demko comes back, Tanner Pearson will be formally put on the LTIR because this season's done anyway. Because, well, that's another thing too, is that they kind of, how do you botch a hand issue like that and turn it into a season-long injury that really was. Again, yep.
No. But I'm about to say. Paul Martin, New Jersey. That's all I gotta say. That's all
even
I
even
got to
even
say.
even even Marty Brodeur, New Jersey.
Yep.
Remember, because the alleged story was always he put his hand through a glass window,
Yep.
and the 2013 season went up in smoke.
Yep.
Just like that. All because of a toll booth. Yeah. Rough. But look, so they'll do that when Demko eventually comes back. Now, Demko was supposed to actually come back last week,
But then.
but then, so now it's kind of a question of, all right, do they just wait till the All-Star break at this point? They're out of the playoffs pretty much no matter what at this point.
I would just wait till the All-Star break anyway. It's 2 weeks, right?
It's not even 2 weeks. Look, the team's a mess. You've endured the second toughest schedule in the NHL up to this point. It's not going to get much better. You kind of just you want Tocchet to see what Tocchet has, but at the same time, you almost want him to get his feet wet and see how bad rock bottom really is first.
Yeah, and then but you can't pull the rug out from under him when you don't
No.
expect, because the expectations for Tocchet coming in have to be the expectations when St. Louis came into Montreal, and is that we know we're bad, we're going to see what he can do, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, if you look at it right now, all right, so they played 46 games. And straight up, they've given up just about 4 goals a game.
Just about.
Just about. It was above four for a while, so they at least knocked it back to like 3.98. I mean, yeah, I know it's like arguing brass tacks at this point,
Right.
but you know, you start looking at some of these other numbers and you just go, ow, ow, ow,
Wow.
ow, it's getting worse, ow. I mean, sheesh. All right, let's put it this way. Okay, so this is where it gets fun. Obviously, average age for this team is, you know, right around league average almost,
Which is good.
which is good. You know, power play has come back a little bit. It's actually a little bit below 24%. It's not bad. It's just that it's come back because, well, gee, injuries. That other thing. Oh, that's 65.9% penalty kill. That's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
You know, league average goaltending is 900, which I still can't believe I have to say, but it's true. Vancouver, a late career Rick DiPietro-esque 877.
Yeah.
I mean, you again, you can go on and on with a lot of the numbers here, and the reality is they don't possess the puck well. They turn the puck over a lot. They don't generate a lot of scoring chances. The high danger chances are even worse. You know, 45% is rough.
Oof.
I mean, you know, they give up a ton of high danger scoring chance goals.
That's not a recipe to win hockey games.
There's just too many things to fix at once with this
Exactly.
team.
Way too many things to fix at once.
I mean, you know, like I said, 5-on-5, you could go on. Even 5-on-5, they have huge problems. And, you know, again, part of that is, gee, I don't know. What do you have after Quinn Hughes defensively?
Not much.
Not much. I mean, at least when Tanev was there, he had something.
Yeah, but they don't even have that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they had that one little run from Tyler. Well, yeah, I know. Tyler Myers. Ethan Bear is the funny part is, well, I mean, people could argue this, but Ethan Bear is probably playing the best he has of his entire career defensively for the most part.
I didn't think that was a bad acquisition, actually. I thought that actually was a good acquisition by the Vancouver Canucks to pick up a guy like Ethan Bear. I've always liked him as a player, especially when, you know,
Yeah.
when he was in Edmonton. I thought he was a good player.
Yeah, he was actually pretty good. But here's the goofball part. He's only playing like 15, 16 minutes a night lately.
Maybe that'll increase under Tocchet.
I mean, all right, I get it. I know when they bumped his time up the second year in Edmonton, things did not go well. I get that. I mean, it was his most productive offensive season, but then again, he played 71 games.
Right.
He played the entire season. I remember, everybody forgets that was the,
COVID
you know,
year
that was the COVID year when everything stopped.
at 71 games.
But you look this year and he looks better. I mean, you know, again, some of these young guys, it takes a while for things to come together.
Like
And
I got like a guy like Nils Höglander who's down in the minors right now.
yeah, and that it might, you know, when is a good time to bring him up? I don't have the answer for that
Nobody. I don't think anybody does.
because nobody does with a player like Höglander, because he needs top 6 minutes to succeed. And if you're not going to get him in Vancouver because of what's going on, then let him
Just
develop
stay
a little
down.
longer. It's fine. People don't need to panic. He
Well,
was rushed into.
everybody panics because these players are rushed way too quickly and they're not developed.
Wait,
And
wait, wait,
that's
wait.
a league-wide issue.
Wait, that happens in the NHL all over the place?
Oh, absolutely.
Damn. That's
Absolutely.
like Elliot Friedman calling Vancouver VCR.
Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah.
That
It's
happens
frequent.
a lot. It's
But
frequent.
again, we've said this way too often with a lot of teams. And it's part of this, I don't even know if we can call it a new era in the NHL, because really it isn't. It's just some kind of something that's come gradually that for once has stuck.
Right.
Remember, Post-pandemic, it was like the first 6 weeks. Oh my God, they're scoring all over the place. The save percentage is around 900. Oh, and then it would correct itself. Last year, it was a little bit longer. And now this year, it's been for 3.5 months.
And now it's coming back to Earth.
It's coming back to Earth a little bit, but we have teams that thankfully keep the light on.
Well, that's Vancouver, Spencer Martin. He's trying his best. He really is.
He tries hard.
He tries hard. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that team's a complete mess. We know it top to bottom from the organization. There's just something has to give. And we mentioned these guys off before.
Now you saw the
Horvat,
you saw the
Besser,
apartment that
those guys, especially Horvat, is a goner. Like, let's be honest. We know Bo Horvat's going someplace. We just don't know where he's going because, unlike the Timo Meier situation, you can't, where obviously the Sharks are looking to move him. And if a team comes calling with the right package and they're intrigued, they're going to let you talk extension. Unfortunately, that's not the case in Vancouver. There are teams in this league that desperately need a center. Desperately. Colorado and Carolina come to mind. Colorado would probably be willing to pay the price for the package that Horvat is, what the Canucks want for him.
And they
Carolina,
haven't.
I don't know because they don't do rentals. And
They might have to.
but they might have to because of that Max Pacioretty situation. Again, he tore his ACL. Not his ACL, his Achilles. I'm sorry. His
Achilles
Achilles.
is, that thing's blown apart.
You feel bad for him because he came back scoring.
When
But
you
no, go ahead.
think about this, so that Horvat's landing spots are definitely limited.
Yeah. I mean,
They're,
you
they
could throw
are.
New Jersey in the mix because the Devils have been interested in a Horvat for a while.
Right. And they could use him as a goal scoring rental, because that's basically what he would be at that point.
Right.
Of course, the irony is we probably jinxed Horvat because he hasn't scored in 4 games. But he's won a metric ton of faceoffs, and that can be useful, especially for a team like New Jersey. Now let's be honest. For those wondering, it's like, yes, Horvat has kind of hit the regression train a little bit. Because he was shooting like around 25%.
Right.
So you kind of expect this. Maybe in a month's time, he regresses down enough that he, gets traded and boom, something hits. And, we go on this run again and nobody talks about this, potential slump that, he's undergoing right now. Again, it's not bad cap hit wise.
No.
And there's teams out there that can afford them.
Right now, yes.
Oh,
Going forward,
absolutely.
even going forward, there are teams that can afford them.
It's
The
just that.
question is, do they want to give up the three assets that Vancouver's looking for?
And I don't think they're going to get that.
No, I don't think they're going to get it either because everybody knows they want to move them.
Yeah,
So.
your leverage is not necessarily kaput, but it's hurt.
It's not like the Joe Sakic where Joe Sakic was like, "Oh, I'm gonna wait it out," because yeah, I know he wants out, but I'm getting what I want because he still had years left on a contract.
Big
This
difference
isn't.
here.
There's a big difference here. Horvat wants out, and everybody knows it.
Yeah, this isn't a secret. I mean, look, they made their best offer and he kind of just laughed.
And he's
And you
like,
know what?
"Yeah, no."
You know what? He's got every right to, because look, he's scoring goals on a team that's just plain a disaster.
He basically said, "You want to choose JT Miller over me? Fine. Fine. I'll go someplace else." And that's what he's going to do.
And to think at the start of his career, he was known more as a playmaker.
And now he's a goal scorer.
And now he's a goal scorer. But the irony is, he's still a playmaker at heart. It's just nobody finishes in Vancouver, except
Well, they
for
don't
a
have
couple
any, they
guys.
don't have anybody that can.
It, but it's the most bizarre thing because, I mean, up until the last few weeks, this was a top 6 or 7 team scoring wise.
Yes, it was. Yes, it
And
was.
the key word is was.
Was. Yes, it was. Vancouver's going to be an interesting situation to watch. Like we've kind of beat it to what we could here, here on this podcast, because everybody, there's going to be more and more things out there. It's just seems like every day a new story comes out about the Vancouver Canucks and who wants out and who's leaving, and just you thank God that Bruce Boudreau finally gets some peace and they finally ended it. But the way they did it, not the greatest. Very disappointed. And to show the disrespect to a guy like that. Hope Bruce Boudreau lands on his feet somewhere. He's always good with the NHL Network and other places that he was. TNT could go to TNT.
TNT would be
How
great. I'm
far? I
sorry.
mean, it would be, because it would just be a flip-flop of Tockett and Boudreau. But we'll see what happens down the road. But this has been Full Press NHL Podcast. I've been your host, Jim Berenger, alongside Chris Wassel for a Sunday night. I hope you enjoyed it. Catch it, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening and supporting what we do. Have a good night.